Hey everyone, this is Colm Kelly. You're listening to the RotoViz Highlight Reel, brought to you by Draft and MyBookie. On the Highlight Reel each week, we feature the top articles on RotoViz.com and get an extended insight into the writer's process and findings. For those of you who don't already know, RotoViz is a sports data and analytics site that publishes over 1,000 articles per year and has a suite of more than 20 proprietary apps. Today on the show, I'm delighted to be joined by one of the most entertaining guys in the fantasy football industry, but I'm joined by Peter Overset. Peter, how we're at week 12 now. We're looking back at week 11. How was your week 11? Did it go good for you?
You know, it didn't go good to me. I bricked out on DFS, said goodbye to our high stakes fantasy team, which I'm sure we'll talk about a little bit. I had a little better season long luck in a few leagues, but on the whole, no, we're on to the Thanksgiving slate to try to rebound here.
That's the one good thing about DFS. When you have one of those weeks where it just does not go to plan, you can quickly rebound and start looking ahead. I didn't have a good week, but overall it wasn't as bad as it could have been. So season long going good, and then DFS doesn't go good. It's nice, at least you usually have one on that'll balance out as the season goes on. But you mentioned the high stakes league that you didn't go according to plan for you this season yet again. But that is the topic of discussion on today's podcast. We'll be talking a little bit later on as well about the fantasy Land podcast, but with the Diary of the High Stakes Sophomore, that there is the subject of today's show up on rotoviz.com. And unfortunately, this week's transcript is just that it hasn't worked out for a second year in a row.
Yeah, it's funny you said this was the RotoViz highlight reel and showcasing articles, but our article all year was just a series of lowlights. So maybe this can be the lowlight reel. We posted our final article today, because the way the FFPC structure works, there's the end of the regular season for your 12 team division in week 11, and then there's a mini playoffs and then the big playoffs. But yeah, we now for the second year in a row have failed to even make it to the final four out of our 12 teams. So it was another very maudlin, sad dispatch up on RotoViz this week.
But obviously there's a lot of, you mentioned you failed to make it into the top four out of those 12 teams, but it is high stakes and there's a lot of very sharp people involved in it. Maybe we can go into some of the aspects that you, obviously a very, very well-advised fantasy player like yourself, but when you go into play against some of the guys in high stakes, is there anything that has really stood out as to maybe other people's preparation and things that you have kind of been able to maybe steal from them and add to your preparation?
Yeah, I think I'm still actually surprised how diverse the approaches are, even in the high stakes leagues. And, you do have a lot of people, you'll have people that have a portfolio of leagues and they play with a bunch of guys. And so they have all these teams and their set strategy. And then you'll have guys who are out there for just a lifestyle weekend. We've talked with this father-son duo on Fantasyland, and they just grab whoever they want. They wanted two quarterbacks in the first eight rounds. They took their defenses early. And you know what? Both years they've made the playoffs. He's been sending me messages and they went, 9-2 and are just crushing. So as we all know with fantasy, there's lots of different ways to skin a cat. But yeah, I'm actually always surprised by the diversity of approaches. You'll get the guys that are big film guys. Sure, you'll get some metric types. But I will say, Pat and I have been going zero RB, and normally we're one of the few people doing that. So either we're contrarian or stupid, probably a little bit of both.
Well, I can't call you stupid anyway. I'm going to have to say you're contrarian, because I'm a zero RB guy myself. And this year has been a trying year, a testing year. There's not a lot of zero RB candidates that have worked out for us so far this season. But there still is a couple of weeks left in most fantasy seasons. But you mentioned as well the portfolios, in particular, if you're playing in particular best ball leagues prior to the start of the season, there's people maybe playing. I actually was looking at MFL 10s, and there's one guy played in over 850 leagues this year. So that's just absolutely insane when you're looking at portfolios. That was the most entered this year. So I'm in a lowly 25, but when you're in it, I go on a week and it comes up the scores. I haven't a clue who's in any of those teams. They're just all over the place. The one thing I do know is TJ Yeldon and Giovanni Bernard are in pretty much all of them, so you can tell how most of those teams are doing at this point. So is there anything else with the high stakes leagues that you find a little bit different, or do you just think it's much of the same, just people a little bit more dialed in than your average league? I guess maybe it isn't, because you mentioned the father-son team just having it the way they want to have it.
Yeah, like I said, a lot of the diversity from approaches, it is you know, the way I found that people are much sharper on the waiver wire, you know, there are kickers and defenses in FFPC, which a lot of the leagues I'm in now have just kind of abandoned those. But so I've kind of, you know, lost the touch for how to do those. And there's definitely people in those leagues who have mastered kind of the art of, you know, kicker matchups. A lot of guys do a really good job playing a week ahead for defenses. I think one mistake we made this year, because we were trying to hit on so many running back lottery tickets, is we used up all our bench spots on, you know, handcuff RBs, when maybe we should have been using those on two defenses. So you only have to spend a dollar on a defense in advance if you're looking a week ahead, where we were always kind of having to spend 30, 35 bucks to get the better defensive matchup. So there's lots of little kind of things with the unique league settings that I think kind of determine your approach. And then also just the way the league's set up, you know, Pat and I have always said, you know, we want to win the whole thing, the 250,000, which requires you to have a really high upside team for weeks 14 through 16. And we've kind of sacrificed some of the safety net and floor with some of our picks. You know, we took a Jordan Reed knowing, yeah, he could do what he did this year, which is not play a lot. But I always have in the back of my head, I think it was 2015, where him and Kirk Cousins won leagues in the playoffs. They had that stream from week 14 to 16. Team where they just went berserk. So I think the FFPC is cool, and that kind of allows for a lot of strategy of, do you want to just sneak your way into the playoffs, or do you want to try to build a really volatile team that could fall flat on its face?
Yeah, and I think as well, it proves that in any league in general, you don't want to be the team that's 5-5. You want to be the team that's either going nowhere, you want to be the team that's absolutely smashing it week in, week out. You don't want to just be there, oh, my team had a nice floor and I won 5 games, but you want to be a team that's smashing it every week that can actually go and win the championship at the end of it all. And the one thing I do know, I looked into it deeper, and that father and son team who've made the playoffs in the 2 years, I do know that they are RotoViz subscribers. And of course, you can also be a subscriber to RotoViz. Just to be honest, I have no idea if they're RotoViz subscribers.
I don't think they are. I really don't.
But the listeners should be RotoViz subscribers. And if you haven't already, you can subscribe now for 30% off. It is available through the NFL podcast homepage. That is rotoviz.com/podcast. Your subscription will give you unlimited access to all of our NFL content and tools. And best of all, it helps support the pod. So be sure and get that 30% discount now off your NFL pass at rotoviz.com/podcast. So looking back to RotoViz, back on rotoviz.com, and we have the apps. And, you know, I want to get all the guests on this show there. Apps that they like to use on a regular basis, and there's certain ones I use, and each guest has kind of had different ones, and that's what gets me interested, because then I go after the show and I start footering about on the app just to dive a little bit more into it. But what are some of your favorite apps to use up on rotoviz.com at the moment?
Yeah, because I don't do a lot of the actual fantasy advice analytical writing at RotoViz, I'm not always using, you know, the screeners and, you know, the split stuff, which I love consuming as a reader, but I don't use those for my own research. You know, the things I'm using are all from a player perspective. And I would always say, if people don't realize, you know, the two that are my favorite are the buy low machine. I've been using that like crazy the past week as I'm trying to decide who do I want to target in trades, because I have a bunch of trade deadlines coming up Thursday. And then on top of that, it's the Dynasty ADP. And I know there's a lot of Dynasty ADP apps and stuff like that, but just the simplicity of it and the way you can kind of toggle the time frame to make sure you're either getting recent stuff. And so I'm always using that as just a gauge, a barometer, is this trade kind of in line? So those two, I go to those, and I'm not exaggerating, at least right now, pretty much daily, especially the buy low machine.
Yeah, and the buy low, that's so interesting. It's so easy to digest, because pretty simple. It's like a traffic light system. Green means go, red means don't go there. So it just gives you a very, very simple kind of calendar of all the teams and over the next 3 to 4 weeks what to expect from them. And you mentioned buy low. The other thing that helps you do is sell high. So there's both of those aspects to use it. And, you know, these are tools. I think the great thing about the tools on RotoViz is that it's not just if you're a dynasty player, it's not just if you're a DFS player, it's not just if you're a season-long player. They pretty much cover all aspects.
Yeah, like you said, the buy low machine, it's super. I know some of those other apps might be a little more intimidating for how to use, but like you said, the buy low machine is super intuitive, and you gives you, you can toggle. So like, I have some teams where I'm going to be in a buy and I'm only looking at week 15 and 16 for who can help me. Or I have other teams where I'm trying to make a push here over weeks 12 through, you know, 13 or 14. So you can really kind of adjust to your needs. And, you know, that's that kind of going back to the high stakes thing. That is one thing I've learned learned a lot through talking to Sean Siegel and other high stakes players that have a lot of success is how much they look at the schedule. I mean, and a lot of people say, you know, the NFL is so random, blah, 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 you don't know what happens, which is true, but there can be some real advantages by taking a look at the schedule and planning ahead. And I've seen a lot of smart people do that well.
And obviously playing in the FFPC leagues this year and the 2 years you mentioned, missing the playoffs, the things you've learned, but how has that experience been in general? Maybe when you went in, obviously, with the buy-in and so on and so forth behind it with you and Pat Corain, and for people who don't know, the other part of your team is Pat Corain, and he is the host of RotoViz Radio, the flagship show here on the network. But with that experience going in, was it anyway intimidating? Was it enjoyable the whole way around? I know you mentioned some people are in it just for to get away for the weekend, to head down to Vegas or whatever. What was your overall experience of playing in it?
Yeah, it's a blast going out and doing the draft live in Vegas. The FFPC does a great job putting on an event. It really does feel like an event, not just where you're going, you're making your picks and leaving. And, you know, last year we were really nervous. I remember Pat and I, we barely talked at all during our whole draft. We were just, you know, checking our sheets, making sure we didn't mess up and got our picks in. This year we were a lot more loose. We felt more comfortable. And it is fun, too, also from doing the Fantasylands interviews. We've met a lot of people there. So now there's just kind of this cast of characters. It's like going to summer camp, you know, where you're meeting up with these old friends, checking in on everybody's team. So yeah, I honestly can't recommend it enough. It's such a fun time. And in the way it's scheduled is you get there on Thursday, which is when the opening night game is. So you get to watch that. You do your draft, you know, Friday, Saturday, and then everyone hangs around and watches the first set of games on Sunday at the Sports Book. So it is a pretty unbeatable weekend. If you can swing it, I definitely highly recommend it.
One thing I'm going to ask you following up on that is, you know, with the first game on Thursday night, obviously this year was Kareem Hunt had the massive game against, I couldn't even get the word out there, massive game against the New England Patriots. And then, of course, you can draft the players who played on Thursday night and carry those points into week one. Is that something that you find, you know, hard to, especially last year, to decipher how to evaluate that?
Yeah, it's funny because especially with that game this year was the Chiefs Patriots. So it had a lot of, you know, primo fantasy guys that were going to change their value. So, you know, I remember at the time I thought it was crazy that people were taking Kareem Hunt 101. But, you know, the more I think back on it, that bird in the hand mantra, a lot of times that can be so true. So those teams are winning week one for sure. And then they got two other monster weeks out of Kareem Hunt. Obviously he's tailed off here. But to start that fast as someone whose teams in the FFPC who have started slow both years, I'm very envious of that. But yeah, it does add a very interesting wrinkle. I was normally more approaching it for who can I get for cheaper now that they didn't have a game. And we ended up getting like a guy like Rex Burkhead. We got in the 13th or 14th round because he didn't have a monster fantasy point game, but you saw the way the Patriots were using him. They were lining him out wide and taking deep shots down the field. So it's fun if the fantasy points don't align necessarily with the usage, and then you can exploit that discrepancy with a discount. So yeah, it does add a different wrinkle to the drafts.
Yeah, and I've got something for you now, obviously, because your team is out of the championship here in the FFPC, so you can head on over to Draft this week and play. If you sign up using the code RVRadio, you'll get your first game for free with that first deposit that you put in. It is pretty much how you draft with, as we're talking about here, in Redraft, and you get your team, you set it up, and it's pretty much set it and forget it after that point. It goes into best ball format, and it is a really enjoyable format in the snake draft, so do go check that out. It is playdraft.com. You also get the app in the App Store, and it is just search Draft, and it'll pop up there very, very conveniently. That code again, RVRadio, and of course it is with your first deposit, so head on over there this week and make yourself some cash. Maybe you're listening to this pre-Thanksgiving. Have some fun in those Thanksgiving games, win some money. So that's going to be an interesting one. You mentioned there Rex Burkhead as well, and you know, I had him in a lot of DFS this last week and it didn't really work out for me. I had that fumble, but if you look at even his usage after that, Bill Belichick's known for just cutting out of the game plan, but they kept him in the game plan, had the opportunity. So I think he's somebody that I'm going to be back in again in my DFS lineups this week again. So get him in your draft lineup this week. So as we move on towards the midpoint of the show here, and we're looking at the upcoming kind of Fantasyland stuff. Fantasyland is a podcast that I really enjoyed, and this just came into my head as we talk now, and I went to Australia for 1 year, and the last month of that I spent in New Zealand. And I remember listening to the episode that you done with Roto World. I remember listening to that there in New Zealand as I walked around through a park. And it's amazing how things come together, but just popped into my head at this moment. So it was a fantastic episode with like Greg Rosenthal, Evan Silva, and so on in it. It's just been a fantastic series. And I know maybe some people haven't checked it out yet. It is one of those evergreen series. I have to recommend you go and check it out. But you are part of the great team putting that together. I guess I'll let you have the floor, explain what Fantasyland is to the listeners who may not have heard it yet.
Yeah, I know we haven't, unfortunately, had an episode out since August. So, we've definitely probably fallen off the radar a little bit. But, yeah, it's kind of an NPR-style, Radiolab-style deep dive podcast about any kind of interesting topic and story within the realm of fantasy football. And, you know, we're always looking for good stories. There's so many of them out there. And, obviously, there's so much fantasy advice and stats, and so many people do that well. So we're just trying to do, as you said, more evergreen stories that maybe people who aren't, you know, on fantasy Twitter all day like us, but are more casual sports fans or casual fantasy fans, that they would relate to and find interesting. So yeah, I'll give my normal plug. If you have a really good fantasy story or something you think would be entertaining or an experience you've had, some of our best episodes have just come from people sending us emails and saying, hey, I think you guys might find this interesting. So feel free to shoot me a tweet or send us an email at fantasylandpod@gmail.com if something comes to mind.
Yeah, and I've really, really, as I mentioned, enjoyed the series. The Roto World one was probably my favorite of the bunch, but you actually had an episode as well where you featured the Antrim Jets, an Irish American football team, which isn't too far away from where I'm from. So that was an interesting episode for me as well as the game grows here in Ireland. So as we move forward then, of course, I guess I got to ask you, what's your old buddy been up to? What's Mans been up to? Has he been crushing it?
Oh, man, Mans is, he's having, finally the time someone asked me on a pod and not Mans, but I'm sure do you want him on? I'm sure I could get
him. If he's around, you can get him on.
Okay. All right. He's always stealing my limelight. Let me see if Mans, are you around? All right. Okay. Yo, what's up, dudes? Call him, dude. I love your Irish accent, dude. That's super cute.
It's cute.
It's very cute, though. It's very adorable. You don't sound like anybody I know. You sound very over the pond to me, bro.
So, obviously, for the listeners, we are being joined now by a very prestigious guest. That is Pete Manzanelli, and you'll know how, or Manzanelli, rather. Sorry, Pete, for getting that one wrong. But obviously, he's been crushing it over the season. How much money have you won this season, my man?
It's honestly hard to count. I've actually had to hire a DFS accountant just to kind of handle, you know, all of my winnings. But I famously finished 30th in the Millie Maker a few weeks ago. You know, I don't play much cash, though. That's just a little too boring to me. I'm just trying to bank the Millie. And yeah, I've been crushing it, dude.
So obviously as well, you've a world famous Twitter or a YouTube account that you've been firing up videos each and every week. How successful has that been over the last 11 weeks of the season?
Oh yeah, dude. I got this weekly DFS show. It's called Man's Maker. I bring on, you know, some of the top performers in the world of DFS, and they ask me questions about how they can be like me. And I also ask them questions about their research. We talk about some top plays, some top stacks. And yeah, dude, it's been a fun time this year. We've had some great guests on. I'm gonna have a very special Man's Giving / Thanksgiving video coming out soon, either tomorrow or the day after, so keep an eye out for that, dude. But yeah, I'm in the Twitter streets, I'm in the YouTube streets, just crushing everything, man.
You mentioned as well the Millie Maker. I actually watched that sweat video you had up. You called it a sweat. I don't actually, were you nervous? Was there a sweat? Did your heartbeat get raised at any moment, or were you just calm and collected?
Well, so here was the thing, dude. I kind of made a fatal error, and I blame my producer for this, but you know, we were in the office and we didn't have a TV set up in here. So I was having to sweat what people were telling me was happening in the chat. So that was actually the most stressful thing, was not actually getting to see what was happening with my own eyes. But sometimes my fans just want to see me, and I had to make that kind of sacrifice, you know?
And obviously the problem there was with your producer, Peter Overzet.
Yeah, dude, he's been awful. I don't know if you saw the most recent Man's Maker. He threw me under the bus. He ran a hit piece about how I haven't been doing well in the DraftKings GPP I host every week. And yeah, times are tough with our relationship right now. But I think we're going to get things on the back track. He knows he's going to get fired if he screws up again.
So obviously you mentioned there a moment ago as well, you know, the stacks that you'd like to feature on the show. But I guess another way you can make some stacks is with my bookie. And of course, over the NFL season, they've been a sponsor here of our podcast network. But they are the bookie that I like to use while placing my wagers. I've had a nice little bit of success this season, and that has been all coming through my bookie. Of course, when you sign up for an account with them, make that first deposit, they will match your deposit with a 50% bonus, and that's all you have to do, slot that money into your account and they will bonus it up with a 50% bonus. All you have to do is the code ROTORADIO while signing up, and that just will automatically be added into your account. So mybookie.ag is the website, and of course it is the way to be making stacks as we head into the Thanksgiving week and into the weekend. I know you're well used to making stacks.
That's right, dude. That's right. Yeah, this Thanksgiving one, I'm getting excited for it. We're going back to the well. We're gonna get the bad taste of week 11 out of our mouth, and those stacks and that cranberry sauce and stuffing's gonna taste real good going down together.
Is Peter still there, or has he left the building?
Oh yeah, dude. I can get that chump over here. Sorry about that, Colin. That's always an issue.
No problem. He wasn't too bad. He kept it under wraps today. So he did have a few words about your production skills on the YouTube channel, but I don't know if we can do anything about that.
Yeah, no. And he wants a flat screen in the office. If he was better at DFS, like he says he would, you'd think he could just afford a one. But yeah, I'm not going to get into that. Things are already a little tense between us. But yeah, I'm sure he appreciates you having him on here.
So as we get into wrapping up the show, is there anything else? Obviously, the sophomore series is coming to an end for the season, but is there anything else that we're going to see up on RotoViz Radio from yourself, or anything to look forward to as the season goes on here?
Yeah, I mean, we're always, like I said, taking ideas for episodes. We have started production on a couple of episodes. You know, they take forever, so I don't want to, you know, promise something coming out sooner than later. But Pat and I went to Nashville this past weekend. Roto Grinders and Draft, who we plugged earlier, had a live final, and Pat and I went down there, interviewed a bunch of people, talked to the winners, and so we should have an episode about that live final experience sometime in the future, which will be cool.
And obviously, that there is pretty much going to do it for today's episode of the show. This is the RotoViz Highlight Read, brought to you by Draft, and as I mentioned, mybookie.ag. My name's Colm Kelly. You can find me on Twitter at OvertimeIreland. My guest today is RotoViz.com writer and Fantasyland guru, Mr. Peter Overzet. You can follow him on Twitter at Peter Overzet. Have a good one. Thank you for listening to the RotoViz Highlight Read. Please rate and review the RotoViz Radio podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. You can contact us via email at rotovizradio@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter at RotoViz Radio. And remember, you can always support the pod by subscribing to RotoViz at a 30% discount through the RotoViz Radio homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.